Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod. Cavs have brought one back at home to make the series an all-too-familiar scoreline of 3-1. Do the Cavs continue on to history, or is this just a small speed bump on the Warriors' path of carnage? And Heat president Pat Riley has stirred the pot again by claiming Magic Johnson as the best player in the NBA, but where would you put him? And the free agency period looms large in the off-season. We'll be talking about all those rumours and more. So shut up. Sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Hello, hello, all you beautiful people across Australia and indeed across the world. My name is Nick Busick at JBT Real NJ, and thank you so much for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You're listening to episode 1.26 on this Sunday, the 11th of June. And with me today, we have the J-Man J-Pod, as always, Jack Manuel. How are we, mate?
The weather is finally getting good in London, mate, and it's getting shitty in Melbourne. So London finally has increased its value to me as a city.
Yeah, don't you know, disregard all the terror attacks and shit. Your life is in danger, Jack.
Yeah, but there was on John Oliver, there was a really good point, like, if one of the guys who was like at the pub where one of the attackers were, he's like, if these people think that like they're going to stop me from going out and hitting on people more and even drinking more, well, like, I'm just going to do it more in spite of them. And it's just like, it's almost galvanized the city in a way. But, yeah, you know, fuck enough ISIS. About London, mate. I hear that you've listened to the iconic Kendrick Lamar Damn album. Nick, you are the hip-hop hippo himself. What are your favourite tracks on it, my friend?
I haven't listened to it in its entirety, but I was extremely impressed by the first two. I think it was the first two songs. I listened to it on YouTube, so I don't think the track listings might have been a bit out, but DNA I've heard Humble on so many NBA broadcasts, so I kind of already knew that one. But that is a
Humble
tune,
is
that
the
is,
song of the year.
That is some straight up fire right there. That is a great song. And DNA is really cool too. Sorry,
are you sitting down?
Yeah.
Be humble.
Be humble. Yeah, no.
It's
great. I mean, I didn't really mind his first album. I don't know. I feel it was a bit of an acquired taste. King Kunta was like, everyone loved that song. So like, yeah. I mean, that was good. And I don't know. I like his second album much, much better. Yeah. I'm not really learned in the whole hip-hop sort of scenario. You would much better, but like, started listening, you know, all the internet memes have gotten me started to listening to Face Off.
Do you want to drop me some bars, mate? I've got a copyright-free hip-hop beat for me, all right? 3, 2, 1...
Dum. Mate, your audio quality is bad enough as it is. I actually can't hear any of that shit. Get a better
really
mic.
Bad.
Yeah. Mate, I can spit some fire to that tune. I'm not going to. I'm going to save the listeners the earache. But
we'll practice over the break, man. We'll practice over the break.
All right. Do you want to kick off here, mate? We'll talk some basketball.
Let's do it.
Interesting rumblings here. We usually start with some news, but today, Jack, I want to change things up a little bit. I just want to kick straight off. Let's just, because I'm itching. I'm itching to talk about the finals. Let's just talk about the finals.
I love it.
3-1, mate. Is this going to happen?
Deja vu. Oh, man. I'm not, like, if the war, it's not. Like, I was just so happy. The fact that it is, that LeBron didn't get swept again and he didn't have that asterisk on his, you know, finals record for a second time. But they played some good basketball, albeit with, you know, Steph and Clay not really performing to their standards. So, you know, let's hope they can bring it in the Bay.
What I loved about this game was, remember how I was talking earlier in the year of when we were making these finals predictions that the Cavs just had this mental edge, and it was visible over the Christmas game. And it would see your stars like Steph and Clay turn to water. And I saw that. I saw that and I had hope. Whether they could do this again for another three games is a completely different story. And, you know, shooters like, you know, they've given us no indication that their rotation players, even two of their starters, can perform away from home. They've given no indication of that. That being said, after three games, they gave us no indication that they could perform at home. So
yeah, exactly.
You never know. This has been a... Has it been a topsy-turvy series, mate? Can you even say that? Because it's been... You know, each game, the Cavs have gotten progressively better to the point of winning. So now they should go out and win the series because they're just going to get better? Yeah? Is that yeah, how this is going to work? Yeah,
I'm fooled by the look at it, I guess, mate. But
Cavs sympathizer. That's what I am.
Well, absolutely, mate. I am as well. I'm sure many of us are. But I think the main thing is that they do have momentum, but at the same time, it was a blemish almost on the Warriors' record. They still scored like over 110 points.
116, mate.
Exactly.
That's still,
so, like,
yeah.
What the key is, and this is what it comes down to, plain and simple, is that the Cavs have to be locked in defensively. Mm-hmm. Their transition defense has been horrific. And against the Golden State Warriors, the number one probably transition team with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, KD, those three guys who lights out from anywhere on the court, you've got to be locked in defensively. JR hasn't been. LeBron hasn't been. For those that have seen, when he's been guarding KD, his opponent field goal percentage hasn't been up to standard. But he's working so hard on the offensive end. It's understandable. He played 46 minutes last night. 46 minutes. And in like the 2 minutes that he was off, the Cavs were like negative 10. When he's on the court, they're like plus 12.
That was game three, I think it was. Game three was that.
My bad.
Yeah. But yeah, that stat was damning. Like, they were minus 12 in the 2 minutes that he was off.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that shit happened in OKC. You know, was... This isn't the Cavs team. The Cavs aren't a bad team like OKC.
No.
So, that's what I mean. A performance like this was due, I feel. You know, Tristan Thompson had like four offensive rebounds in the first quarter. The hustle was there. I mean, you could feel the belief in this team. It was crazy. I mean, Kevin Love shot, 75% from three? 6 from 8?
Kevin Love has been great this final series. Like, compared to 2016, where he was almost like a non-factor, he is not the problem at all. It is everyone else from Deron Williams, who has been horrible up until, like, you know, some contribution last night. Tristan Thompson, like you said, finally had a contribution on the glass. JR hasn't been nailing the shots until last night. Kyle Korver hasn't been. Iman Shumpert is a non-factor unless he's on the defensive end. Before when we were making our predictions, that the Cavs bench unit was a strength of theirs going into the series, but it's been anything but in the first four games, or the first three. There's certainly that's it's going to be the key to them winning or losing. Like we said, LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, they've been killing it. Kyrie has been a bit up and down, but that 40-point performance the other night just was something else. He's a magician with that basketball.
I was unbelievable to watch him play like that, getting layups that no one has the right to make, with and ones and everything like that. It was so wild to watch him explode like that.
He makes basketball look like an art. Like, it's an art form how, like, beautiful he makes the game look with his array of isolation moves and especially around the rim, like you're saying. It's obviously a very powerful game with its dunks and such, but with players like, you know, your Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, you forget about the beauty of this game. And, you know, a performance like Kyrie Irving, I'll put it out there. He's probably the best isolation scorer in the game. Would you dispute that?
Yeah, no. I wouldn't dispute it. Yeah, that's a fairly accurate assessment.
He can get his own anywhere.
Mm. It's just like a matter of, you know, he's always going to have Klay Thompson against him. And
Klay has been locked in.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough for him. But he actually absolutely ran rampant last night. What was surprising for me is that he made 40 points and only had four free throws. Like that, yeah. That's odd. He shot 27 times and shot an incredible percentage. He had 7 three-pointers himself. So I know a lot of people, like when you see 40-point games, you know, they might have had 15 free throws or so, which is not a knock on them. It's just how they've managed to get their points. I mean, instead of making the shots, they've drawn the foul. It's a different approach, and it's still commendable. But that is incredible. One for defensively not fouling on Kyrie, because a fair chunk of those were exceedingly difficult layups, apart from obviously the three pointers. But like you said, they got contributions from their bench last night. Kyle Korver only took two shots, which I thought was odd. Whether they're not out, like, he only played 11 minutes, but they're not outletting through him. But Richard Jefferson had an amazing shooting game that game. And just getting like those few extra points from your Amanya, Darren, and RJ. So it helps. Jack?
Yeah, I'm here, mate.
You lost me, mate. But yeah, they're just getting that little bit of help from their bench. And it brings about it's a mental thing as well. When your bench is shooting well, you're just like, you know what? We've got nothing to worry about. And that is huge.
Yeah. And, I mean, We've certainly accentuated the performance by the Cavs in Game 4, but on the flip side, Nick, the Golden State Warriors, I see it as a very likely possibility that they close things out in the Bay. Do you give the Cavs any chance in Game 5?
I want to believe, like, this could absolutely steal them. It's exactly like we were saying last year. I mean, they got killed in those first two games.
But Nick, let me stop you right there to hark back to our early pod days. The difference between this year and last year is Harrison.
It's huge.
But Kevin Durant isn't Harrison Barnes.
But the Cavs have strengthened too. You know,
have they got Kevin Durant?
No, they don't. But they clearly shown that they can beat them. Like, given the circumstances, I don't think it'll happen again. I think they'll close it out in Oakland.
Yep.
But that mental edge might be slipping in. You know, the supposedly double techs on Draymond. If Draymond gets ejected last night, which he bloody should have been. That being said, the second tech was very, very soft. So I guess like karma like evens it out in the end. But if he goes out, I think that's a shot to the system for Golden State.
Well, it's literally like last year.
Exactly.
When he was
Mentally, I don't think that they're... Maybe specifically Steph. Because when everything's going his way, when everything's going the Warriors' way, he is an absolute beast. If Golden State can come out of the blocks quickly and go out to a first quarter lead, then I think Steph will be okay. But from what I've seen, Steph struggles when there's a lot of pressure, which is why I think they lost last year.
Well, it's a big call, Nick. You're saying that to an extent that Steph Curry can't really put it up when it matters. And to be fair, last year he had a pretty severe
injury. He did have an injury. He wasn't the same. I'll give him that. But you think of Christmas as well. He didn't perform then either.
Yeah.
It's hard to say this because he is an absolute superstar. There's no doubt in my mind. He's a Hall of Famer. He's the greatest shooter possibly of all time. We'll make that debate when he retires and has a few more rings, no doubt. He's an absolute superstar, an absolute legend. But, you know, Draymond Green goes out and he's a character. He is the foundation. You know, a lot of crap can fall onto him. And he can lift. Kevin Durant can do that. Like, they've got that other person now. But if it was solely Steph, I don't know.
It's
big calls, mate. I make the big calls. But
I like it. It's a hot take, like, you know, a Stephen A. Smith or a Chris Broussard. But I'll do a Facebook post for it and share it, and I'm sure it'll get plenty of discussion on the groups that we're a part of. But it's just some interesting stats coming out of the first few games. The main ones being, you know, the comparison between Kevin Durant and LeBron James is the way they're playing in their system. So in this year's finals, and this was in after game three, so I'm sure this has changed since then, Kevin Durant has been assisted on 74.1% of his buckets, whereas LeBron James has only been assisted on 19%, which is an alarming statistic in ways.
Is it, though? Are you surprised by that stat?
Look, it's saying to me that if Kevin Durant can get easy shots, then I'd be curious to know how many shots he had that he was assisted on in game four when the Warriors aren't flowing well, their offense isn't flowing as well. You know, Steph isn't giving him those sexy outlet passes, those sort of things. And no, it doesn't surprise me about the LeBron number because he generally creates his own offense anyway. He is the facilitator of that team. It just surprises me that 74% of Kevin Durant is as good as, for me, he's probably the second best isolation player in the game. We mentioned it in, I think, our last podcast about he's a 7-foot dude who can shoot over anyone and has the athleticism and range that of Steph Curry and the athleticism of LeBron James, just not the power, obviously. So it's just, if he can get, you know, be assisted by a Steph, by a Clay, by a Draymond, gets open shots, then it's over for the Cavs. And who's going to defend him? LeBron, he hasn't been defending him that well anyway. They might need a Martin Chopper to really stand up in game five. But I mean, it's going to be very, very interesting, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, those stats, it doesn't surprise me. Just the way the Warriors play, they were breaking assist records early in the regular season, and no one was getting close to their total assist count. They play so well as a unit, and their offense just is so dynamic. Whereas, LeBron James gets his own shots or is facilitating. You know, he's not on the end of a play to take a shot. He starts with the play. He starts with the ball, and if he ends up getting the ball back, it's because the play has screwed up and they need to do it again.
Yeah.
Let's finish off. I'm not surprised by that.
No, and that's fair enough. I just found it, you know, quite a discrepancy, obviously. Let's finish off in terms of previewing game five. What's your prediction? What do the Cavs need to do to win? What do the Warriors need to do to close it out and win the Larry O'Brien Trophy?
Well, for me, they need to start strong. They have to start strong because if
the Warriors?
The Cavs. If the, for the Cavs to win, for the Warriors to win, they have to start. The start is going to be so important.
Agreed.
If because of that whole mindset thing, I was saying, I think maybe not so much when I was talking about Curry, not so much as a big time player, but more of a confidence player.
And momentum, yeah.
Yeah, so if that momentum swings in the favor of Cavs, if Curry can get going from that after that, then hell, go for it. Then that's
brilliant.
Well,
didn't the Cavs have like 49 or 45 points after the first quarter or something?
49 points, yeah. Sets broke a record. I wonder how many other records they're going to break.
Exactly. So it shows how important the first quarter and probably that last quarter, because LeBron has been... statistics, and you know, you can Twitter them, you can Google them. They've certainly wavered in the last half. Obviously, that is affected by, you know,
that third quarter. The third quarter tends to kill the Cavs because the winner of the game has led at quarter time so far. I mean, it's only been four games, but even when Cavs had it close in game three, Warriors. Yeah, that clutch shot, and if Kyle Korver makes that shot in the corner, like that's his bread and butter. That's going to come back to haunt him. Anyway, game five. Cavs need to start strong. They need to get shooting performances again. Like they just have to play as well as they did in game four. That's as simple as that.
Yep.
Whether they can do that on the road, that's they've given me no reason to think that they can.
Yep.
So my prediction is Warriors.
I agree with everything you say, Nick, including the Warriors celebrating in the Oracle Arena. But I'm really hoping for... It's surprising. We haven't had many close games this year, so I'm hoping for a grinder. I'm not... finals, I like seeing... There's barely been any performances where there's been under 100 points, so there's not much defense happening in these finals, but, you know, we might see it in Game 5.
I'll just end it on this little sub note just before we head to a break. I want obviously Cleveland to win. Even if Golden State take the series, that's fine, which is looking very likely. But history will look back on a best of six series and not look as harshly upon LeBron James. Because a 4-1, that is still really, that's a gentleman's sweep. It's still bad. Losing 4-1. So, just for the sake of LeBron's career, I hope that it goes to six games. So, come on, Bron, you can do it. That's it. With that, we'll take a break. We've got some news on the other side.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Make sure you give us a like on Facebook.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Jack, we'll kick off with some news here. What's making headlines in and around the association? start with a bit of light news, I guess. Did you see the KD and LeBron sort of rap battle, I guess, that came out this week?
Nick, is that even a question?
Of course you did.
Damn straight I did.
We've got a little bit of a snippet here for you guys, so check this out. And every hater all the same. I'm feeling like the world is Skip Bayless and I'm LeBron James. It ain't easy on the path I'm on, but put the world on my back cause I'm that strong. Long journey I've been on from the very start. No way I die off with this iron heart. It's the kid King James acting 3-3-0. Let's get him. Beautiful stuff
fire.
There.
Look, that was fire. Like, no shit. That was... Like, especially KD.
The start, yeah. I mean, it was only a small little, in that little snippet we had, it was only a small little bit, but he could throw down. He could...
Damn straight. Yeah. You know what it reminded me of? And I mean, you're our new rap expert, so I'm excited to hear your thoughts, but it reminded me of, it was Watch the Throne-esque with, like, Kanye and Jay-Z that's sort of like, get him, yay, and it's just like, LeBron James, and then LeBron James gets like this sort of deep, this sort of like a Biggie flow about him where it was like, it ain't easy being LeBron, and I was just like, that was sick. What were your thoughts?
I thought KD was much better.
Yeah, that's right.
LeBron had the bigger part, but like LeBron sounded out of pitch. Like there was something about that opening line, like it ain't easy. It's like he was, I don't know, hitting the wrong notes. I don't know. I might be looking at it too much of a musical perspective.
Tones and shit now. Like you've listened to two Kendrick Lamar songs and you're a rap expert now.
Hey, your words, mate. Your words. What I think was a big telling point in this was that LeBron sounded exactly like LeBron. KD, that's not KD. That didn't sound like KD.
No,
he sounded like a rapper, but LeBron sounded like LeBron.
Like a rapper, like, and I mean, we know Damian Lillard. We reviewed his album earlier in the year on the pod, and it was a great album, by the way. But KD's flow was like slick as hell. It was like Tupac-esque. It was smooth. His drawl, as they say. Do you know what drawl means in rap terms, Nicholas?
Yeah, but, you know, for the sake of the podcast, why don't you explain it?
All right, so your drawl is sort of like how you enunciate and how you accentuate the word. So, like, when you hear, like, Eminem rap, you know it's Eminem by the tone of his voice, by how he speaks, by how he raps. Same with, like, you know, the probably a Kendrick or a Chance the Rapper. Like, when you heard KD, like, he's got a signature sort of smooth flow that I really like. But they were dropping bars, Nicholas.
That is some bars. That's some good drool, and mate. That's some good drool.
Damn straight. And, I mean, they said that apparently they need, like, a million retweets to, like, leak it. And they're only at, like, 20,000. So, like, I'm going to be retweeting the shit out of that, making, like, 980,000 accounts.
So yeah, I was going to say, that's the solution. Just make a million Twitter accounts. Make them, you know, jman1@gmail.com, jman2@gmail.com. Make a million of those and then just retweet it, mate, for the cause.
Hashtag bot life.
For the cause, that's it. But yeah, I mean, that was a nice little fun little bit of news to come out of this week, all the hostility between the two teams, and, you know, music unites us all, doesn't it, Jack?
One love, Nicholas, one love.
That's it. Speaking of LeBron James, the King, after just moving on from that, if that wasn't, yeah, segue, shut up. After LeBron's LA
home... What are you talking about? Are you drunk?
It's early, mate. Oh, it's not even that early. God, what is wrong with
you? It's not. It's late for me.
Yeah, well, shut up. Speaking of the King, after LeBron's LA home was vandalized last week, an Ohio neighbor, put up hero and humanitarian signs at his Ohio home. Shows that there's still a little bit of good in the world. I think it might have been inflated that it was LeBron James, but it's always nice to see, you know, nice gestures like that. After a family home gets vandalized, and yeah, LeBron was openly disturbed about it. Just kind of like all this basketball hate impacting his family. But Jack, what are your thoughts on the whole, you know, Good Samaritan, I guess?
Well, I think it's been brought to light due to LeBron responding to it in the press conference in a really thoughtful and meaningful way. And then this week, we speak a bit about pop culture on our podcast, obviously. The real time with Bill Maher, when Bill Maher said the N-word on his show, and Ice Cube had come out and said, it's like, you know, it's hearing a white person say it, it's like a knife. It's just, we don't have the right, the ownership to say that. Like, it's just not cool. And it just shows an institutionalized hatred and racism that is just systemic across, you know, African Americans especially. Not something we experience very often being from, you know, Australia and London, but it's certainly an issue. And it's great that we have people like LeBron James that can shed light on this, and Ice Cube, who was on Real Time with Bill Maher. And it's great that we can still see people shining a light on how awesome a humanitarian and just great all-round human being LeBron James actually is. Like, he has never had any controversies in any way, shape, or form. He is not Michael Vick, by any stretch of the imagination. He is not, he's never had any, you know, domestic abuse, never anything. He's not J.R. Smith. But, you know, I love J.R., by the way. But, you know, there's still good in the world, like we said, Nicholas. And, you know, the good unites us all. We're trying to be positive on JBT.
Well said, Jack. Well said. You're the voice of political reason on this show, and it's good to have that little bit of insight. Good for you, mate.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate the compliment. You rarely compliment me, so I'll take that and I'll run with it.
You're also ugly.
Ooh, you're smelly.
Burn. Speaking of burn and heat. Heat President Pat Riley. That was a terrible segue.
Okay, I'm going to give you some. That was a pretty fine segue.
I do my best. Heat President Pat Riley has come out recently and said that Magic Johnson is the greatest player of all time. That's a new one. I've never heard actually anyone say that. Good on you, Pat Riley. You know, difference in opinion. But I thought we'd have a discussion about it. Where would you put Magic on your all-time greatest list, but who's on top for you? Like, for me, it's, you know, MJ. I think that's
we had the discussion last week, sort of discussing it, and basically it was, we came to, like, the consensus that it was Michael Jordan.
But we didn't even mention Magic Johnson.
For me, I've got a quite a clear-cut top four. For me, it's one, Michael Jordan, two, LeBron James, three, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and four, Magic Johnson. That's my top four. And then after that, you can chuck in a Bill Russell, a Hakeem Olajuwon, a Kobe Bryant, a Tim Duncan, a Larry Bird.
Malone?
You know, the list goes on, and I'm sure I'm missing plenty of names, but my top four are those four guys. And, I mean, you could probably make a case for Magic being number three or number two, but MJ, I mean, to an extent, Magic and Larry redefined basketball in an era where the association, the NBA, was really forming and really struggling for ratings and any sort of popularity. And they clutched onto Magic and Larry and the whole, you know, white boy from the countryside and this cool, slick, handsome African American guy making in LA. He was a rock star in LA. In terms of when we're talking about superstars, Magic Johnson is the be all and end all. He's one of the, when you think of LA, you think of Magic Johnson, you think of Kareem, you think of Kobe. Those are your three guys, and they're three of the best players of all time. So, I mean, I'd have him fourth. Nick, where would you have him? Who would you have as your top four, top five?
I just want to make a bit of a key distinction between these players. And when it's hard to compare people from different eras.
And that's what they've been saying all week, and I agree with that. And Draymond came out and said, it's hard to compare eras and blah, 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 and we should appreciate greatness, but, you know, this is barbershop talk, this is podcast talk. We're going to talk about it because, it, you know, it's great for discussion.
What I think is hard because general players get better. That's a given fact. I firmly believe that any team, maybe not any team, but most teams in the modern game will beat every team from the 70s. It's just the progression of basketball. We learn new tactics. We learn to better ourselves as athletes. You know, it's like footy AFL players. Back in the 70s, they used to drink and smoke on the bench while they were there. Now we know better, and any team of the modern era will smash any team from the 70s.
100%. Yeah, it's a fair point. And
Carlton,
I mean,
could beat. I firmly believe that Carlton could beat the premiers of the 70s.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair call. And I mean, it'll lead into one of our DPs of the week when we're talking about how the odds makers in Vegas were having, you know, who would win against the Bulls and the Warriors in their peak. It's an interesting discussion to have, and I'm sure, you know, it's a good point, Nick. But, you know, you made the big call earlier. Give me a top five, mate.
This was the segue. This was the context. And so I've got Kareem as two. Yeah, I've got MJ and Kareem and then LeBron.
Okay.
But I firmly believe that LeBron, in his prime, would destroy Kareem in his prime.
But they're completely different players.
It is. As in, if we're talking like, it's hard, obviously, different positions even. So, like, you can't really compare him in a one-on-one. But he's a better athlete. He can shoot the ball like crazy, and he's strong as shit, and he can post up as well. You know,
well, in terms of posting up, mate, you're talking about probably one of
the best post up in the game. I agree.
And
he
revolutionized the position.
Exactly. Exactly. He was so far ahead of his time in terms of ability to finish and just generally playing the game. It's just why he's my number two. Like, he was just the fact that he was so far ahead of his time makes him a better player, if that makes sense. It's only because LeBron James is playing in the modern game that he is a better athlete. I'm not sure if I'm conveying myself properly.
No, I know what you mean in terms of the advances of the game, the analytics that's been available, the health, the diet of the players is much better. You know, they get much more rest. It's a much more professional league, sports science, the advancement in sports science especially. The professionalism of the sport is leaps and bounds ahead of Kareem's late 70s, early 70s era. Where do you have Magic then in terms of, you know, where Pat Riley had him as number one? You don't even have him in your top three. Where do you have him? I mean, I had him fourth. Do you have him fourth?
Possibly not. I still believe Kobe. Like, you didn't mention Kobe in your
I did.
Did you?
I mentioned him in interchangeable names. Like, I would have Tim Duncan.
You didn't mention Stockton either, or
Stockton's not.
Or Malone. You didn't mention Karl Malone either.
Yeah, but I could also. I didn't mention Charles Barkley either.
That's true. There was obviously there's like a lot of all time greats.
It's a bloody good sport that's been going on for a long time, Nicholas. There's a lot of stars that have come and gone. I didn't mention Dr. J and Bill Russell either.
That's right. I mean, I probably wouldn't have Magic. He might be five behind Kobe. Last week, we were talking about how Kobe was in that greatest of all, like, was... because who said it? It was Barkley, I think it was. It was someone.
Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen
Jackson on The Undisputed.
He said
that Kobe's better than LeBron.
So Kobe's accolades is still there. Like, the way he played the game is still incredible. I'm a man who values assists, like, who values, like, a passing game and, of like, a man who has amazing vision on the court as well. So it's odd, even for me personally, to pick Kobe above Magic. But
Nick, I'm pretty sure we did a DBS a few weeks ago with Kobe, Tim Duncan, and Dirk, if I'm not mistaken. And didn't you drop Kobe? Have you dropped Kobe a couple of times? And you've said that Tim Duncan, like, is better. So wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's in retirement that you look back. You know, that was fresh off Kobe retirement, and those last 2 years of Kobe Bryant's careers are still ingrained in my head. Like, that is what I watched. That is the Kobe I watched.
Yeah.
But I have to start, you know, appreciating exactly what he did throughout his whole career. And his career as a whole was phenomenal. Like, he's a phenomenal player. And so that would be why my, you know, position has changed. Maybe I'm just trying to appease the Laker fans because they are plentiful.
I know, and then we've probably got plenty that listen to our podcast in terms of, like, you know, actual listeners.
I'm sorry, did I say Michael Jordan was the greatest? I meant Kobe Bryant was the greatest of all time. Sorry.
Oh, shut up,
my
Nicholas.
Bad. but yeah, I'd have Magic. I'd have Magic 5, at least top 5. You know, ask me again next week, and he might be number 3. Like, fuck, I'm inconsistent as shit. And I can admit that.
You're a flaky bitch.
Exactly. anyway, we'll take a final break and we'll talk about some free agency news just on the other side. You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at JBTRealNJ. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Some discussion points of what's it called, Jack? What's that pending
hashtag DP of the week?
Yes, well, let's call it that. Free agency. All the rumblings of free agency. It's upcoming. No escaping it. It is. It's coming for all you. You Clipper fans.
What else are you gonna talk about?
Yeah, that's it. Off season. There's nothing else to talk about. All right, we'll just start with a little bit of speculation, because I don't think this is going to happen. But you never know. This guy is known to move at the drop of a die, at the drop of a hat. So, mate, LeBron to the Lakers. The Ringer reported that LeBron could be heading to the Lakers or Clippers, heading to LA in free agency in 2018. So, mate, if you're going to rate this, Yeah, just rate it. How likely is this going to happen? I mean, for me, it's negative 7.
Negative 7 out of negative 7, Nicholas?
Negative 7 out of 10. Like, that's out of a billion. That's how strongly I believe.
Negative 7 out of 10. So, does that mean he's going to sign a 7-year contract with the Cavaliers or something? Is that what
it means? He's going to give LA money to not sign him. That's exactly what it's got to be. Either LA team.
You know what? I give it more credence than you do, but on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it no more than a 2.5. It's still something, but it's not anything really worth talking about at length. Cleveland is still the likely place where he will be. He wants to build his legacy as, you know, LeBron James. But then LA and the bright lights of LA is a decent way to spread that brand if, you know, he's going to be doing Space Jam 2 and whatever. And who knows, if they have Paul George by that stage, D'Angelo Russell comes into his own, Brandon Ingram, he could go there. There's buts. I think the big point to be made out of it is, why would he leave, like, the cushy East, which he has dominated for 10, 15 years, 10, 12, 15 years, whatever it is, since he's been in the league, to the competitive conference that the Western Conference is, where he'll have to, you know, face the Warriors, face the Spurs,
He wants that challenge, mate. He wants the challenge. He's a competitive man.
Yeah, unlike Kevin Durant, who just joins whoever's the... Ooh! Shots fired at KD, but yeah, it's unlikely. But you know, watch this space.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. Don't watch this space. Watch something else, as it'll be much more entertaining. Watch some House of Cards, a new season.
You're not doing too bad, Nicholas. I have been watching a bit of House of Cards. I'm season 4.
So
I'm still catching up.
Shit gets good.
Have you watched season 5 yet?
No, not the new one. No. But I've seen everything up to it. And it is.
We should chat about this at a later stage.
Yes, we should. It's balling. Actually, did you? Oh, we won't talk about it.
We'll talk about it after the podcast, Nicholas.
Yes,
after the podcast.
Yes. All right. Got a bit sidetracked there. I'm just giddy. I'm giddy. all right. No, I don't give this much news. I mean, I feel that it's just, you know, LA's a big franchise. You know, why not? Why not Clippers? It's like whenever big moves are leaked, it's always to one of the LA teams, because biggest organizations, biggest city.
LA, yeah.
And yeah, no. Nah. And LeBron has a house in LA, but like I'm sure he has a house in all the 50 states. So like it would not surprise me.
Maybe not Wyoming.
Yeah. I mean, he might sign for the Milwaukee Bucks over the summer. Who knows? Like, shit.
Who knows? Imagine team up with Giannis. Far out.
Yeah, no, that'd be nice. And Brogdon, that's the makings of a good team.
And back with Dele.
Yeah. See, if Dele was on the Cavs, they'd win. Anyway, this is.
We should get Charles to do a photo shop for us of LeBron in a Milwaukee uniform, and like we should start spreading it as a rumor, as fake news.
I'll run that down. I'll tell Chelsea to do it. Oh, God. Say, like, JBT podcast has leaked announced that LeBron has shown interest in joining the Milwaukee Bucks in free agency.
We're doing this. Man. We're making it a thing. We're spreading fake news.
We're part of the problem.
Now, if you can't solve the problem, Nick, let's just join the problem.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, all right. anyway, speaking of free agency, Gordon Hayward is obviously a big talking point this free agency, and Miami Heat have joined the race to potentially claim the All-Star forward. Mate, do you want him to stay? Do you want him to leave? What do you think Hayward's prospects are? In this
Look,
free agency.
I want him to stay, but the...
Hashtag Staywood.
Hashtag Staywood, indeed. And for those that haven't seen yet, Chaz Walters has done a fire Photoshop for us where I asked him to do Gordon Hayward's head on Sam Smith in the music video Stay, and Utah Jazz fans be like, it's pretty good. You know, for those Sam Smith fans out there, and there's plenty. But,
hashtag shameless plug.
But damn straight, we're all about him, mate. We're all about him. I mean, you know. Miami is an interesting proposition because Chris Bosh is now off the books, so they can't afford a max player. And we were speaking about Blake Griffin last week as a fit over there. He would fit in even better than Blake Griffin as a small forward who can shoot like no other. Alongside Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside, it's a solid big three to build around and challenge the dominance of LeBron in the East. But the Celtics are still obviously going to be in those sweepstakes as the history with Brad Stevens. But I'm on team hashtag Team Stayward. I like the Utah Jazz, and I had them in one of my articles that I've written as one of the teams to watch out for in the next few years, especially if they keep Gordon Hayward. I mentioned that he is the key to that franchise alongside Rudy Gobert and his defense in the playoffs. But yeah, hashtag Hayward.
Because there's been trade talks surrounding Paul George as well. Are these just trade talks, or is he on free agency this year as well?
No, he is.
I know there's a lot
agent.
Of rumblings that the Pacers aren't going to keep him. Was that free agency?
Yeah. So the reason why they're not going to be keep him is because next year he becomes a free agent, and because they can't offer him the max deal because he hasn't made an All NBA team. Though if he does make it next year, then they can offer him that max, which will entice him to stay. But there's talks already, you know, the big trade rumor that's been flying around now is LeBron to the Cavs for Kevin Love. I mean, it makes sense in theory.
You mean Paul George to the Cavs?
Yeah, Paul George to the Cavs and Kevin Love to the Pacers. In theory, it makes sense if the Pacers think they can't get anything for Paul George after this year. You know, Kevin Love's a fair enough asset, one of the best big men in the game. But I think I was listening to Bill Simmons, and I think they backed themselves to be able to use next year, 2017-18 season, to sort of lure him to stay and you know, entice him and build pieces around him with Miles Turner being a core. But
it's risky though.
Paul George is very, very likely to end up as a LA Laker in 2018, 2019.
Well, it's a risky move if you keep him on with the hopes that he'll sign again in free agency. If he doesn't, then you've just lost a All-Star with nothing. Like, you've got nothing in return.
No compensation.
Yeah,
it's literally like what happened with OKC
exactly.
and Durant.
Exactly.
But I mean, that was even more of a shock because they were literally like a game away from being in the finals and being a championship team because, you know, they certainly could have taken up to the Cleveland
Not
Cavaliers.
Only that, but like there was no real speculation that he was going to leave. I mean, everyone was saying, "Oh yeah, he'll resign." With Paul George, it's very, very different. I mean, people are saying, like, why the fruit would he resign?
Yeah,
the rumblings are very, very different. So I'd say you got to offload Paul George now. Don't do it to the Cavs, though. Don't strengthen that team.
that's like, a fair point. Like,
it depends. Like, if they're able to give them the paces what they want, then if it's in their best interest, then go for it. But for the good of the league, just don't. Don't do it. Don't do it. Please. Get some good young guys from the Lakers and start rebuilding. That's my sound advice. Last little bit here. ESPN's Chris Haynes has reported that Golden State wing Andre Iguodala has received an interesting offer from Suns. Interesting offers from the Suns, T-Wolves, and Hawks. Out of those three, I guess, if he does end up moving, where would you think would be the most suitable?
The T-Wolves, Nicholas. I think a veteran presence, and I mean the Suns obviously need that veteran locker room presence as well, but with the talent that the T-Wolves have with Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Ricky Rubio, Karl Anthony Towns, I reckon Andre Iguodala could be a great mentor, a great presence, especially for someone like Andrew Wiggins, who has, you know, somewhat of a similar game. They're both somewhat they're very talented wings. Wiggins has probably a greater offensive game. Iggy has a greater defensive game. But if the Golden State Warriors win this year's finals, there's no way that Andre Iguodala is going to leave. Like, who would want to... Who leaves the Golden State Warriors without being pushed out?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the dynasty and the culture that they're creating there, I mean, you wouldn't want to leave. Why? And he's not going to be number one man anywhere. I mean, the T-Wolves make sense not only for, you know, being a mentor, but shoring up that team from a defensive standpoint as well. One of their biggest drawbacks, and Iguodala is a great defender. I feel the T-Wolves would be a good fit. Suns have that same sort of defensive woes as well. The Hawks, I'm not giving much into that. But yeah, again, I mean, you shouldn't really be giving much into any of these trades because why leave? You know, this will be the second ring that he wins, because I'm calling it now, and I think everyone has. This will be ring number two. If he can win another one, even three rings, that's a very boastable amount of rings. Even if it is coming off the bench, but he is he's the sixth man. He's a pivotal bench player, and he's part of that death lineup, and he will always be remembered as part of that death lineup. Like, Zaza's a starter, but not really.
No.
It's Iguodala. So Iguodala's technically a starter in that team, but not really. But yeah, I mean, you wouldn't leave. Why would you leave? You know, all these rumblings, it's just speculation, but you know, he could want a fresh start. You know, if he gets two rings, then he'll feel accomplished in his life. I don't know. He'll achieve enlightenment and go all zen. And, you know, bring his zen nature to a different team. Who knows?
Nick,
basketball's
are you
zen? A crazy, crazy world. Mate, I don't have any NBA championships. I am not zen. I'm def's not zen. Mate, I have got no achievements to boast in my life to potentially bring me to enlightenment.
That block for the Toon Squad was probably...
Oh, mate. That was possibly the greatest ever thing I did. Freaking chase down block.
Oh. Hashtag...
Mate, you can't chase
wait,
down block.
Nick block.
You can't chase down block.
Fucking Chaz. Oh, yeah, I chase down block every game. It's like, yeah, all right, mate.
Nah, Chaz...
He doesn't chase down block. You can block.
He's a Hassan Whiteside blocker.
Yeah. He just plucks the ball from the air.
And he does a million of them, whereas Nick's just like, bang!
Bang! Chase down as well. Like that was the big... Like, who cares if it was a normal block? But the chase down block, that's a big deal. Considering I turned over the ball. Anyway. Jack, do you want to... Before we leave, do you want to give yourself a bit of a hashtag shameless plug?
Sure, we've done plenty of them today, Nicholas. We always speak about the best. We are the best podcast in the game. And now I am officially the best NBA writer in the game because I have started doing some freelance writing for Fadeaway World, NBA 24/7 on Facebook. Check them out. Wrote my first piece for them about top five teams most likely to win the title next year that aren't named the Warriors or Cavs. So an interesting piece. And then I got to write about my beloved Nets for OTG Off the Glass Basketball. And I chucked in a Kendrick Lamar reference for you there, Nicholas. So I'm sure you would have liked.
I loved it, mate. Loved it. It was nice pieces. You mentioned my boys, the Wizards, in your top five teams most likely to win the title. So thank you there.
You're welcome, mate.
Just from a not really a neutral, but like a just an outside perspective. Good articles. Catch him on... you can always catch him on Twitter. He posts them. And on our Facebook, we'll plug him as well, every article that Jack writes. But you can also catch him on fadeawayworld.com and otgbasketball.com for those articles. The links should be on our Facebook page anyway, if you want to look through the posts. But yeah, you're official NBA writer. And we're very proud to have some expert opinion on this show, because fuck knows I'm not good enough.
Nick, mate,
I make the big calls, but you make the right calls.
I don't mind. That's just the dynamic that we got, mate. You're the big call man. I'm the more measured. Even though probably in like general, but personality wise, we'd be the opposite. But when it comes to basketball and our podcast, we switch roles in a way.
That's right. You become the more... I get you. Anyway, we'll end it there for another classic episode of Just Ball Things NBA podcast. Anything else you want to say before we say goodbye to the good people?
Check me out, guys. Cheers for the plug, Nicholas.
That's all good. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA podcast. You can find us on iTunes or any decent pod center that has access to the iTunes library. And remember to rate and review the show because it'll help other people find us to help add to the conversation. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can hit us up a number of ways. You can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast or using the hashtag JBT Pod. You can get in touch with us personally on Twitter. Mine is at JBT Real NJ, and Jack is at the J-Man JBT. You can reach us on Facebook. We use that a lot. Facebook.com/JBT Podcast or Instagram at JBT Pod. And you can also ask us your questions, your comments, your reviews, whatever you want through email, JBTPodcast@gmail.com. Remember, guys.
Don't forget SoundCloud as well, guys.
Yes, we are on SoundCloud. If you want to listen to the pod, if you've got no other way to listen to it, you can listen to us on SoundCloud. Our link to SoundCloud is on our Facebook page. So remember, guys, it's you that make this show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep listening, reading, and balling, superstars.